It's the power of suggestion. It's what it is, and they train people to do that. But in the kingdom of God, he's given us all the answers and prerequisites to what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to have. We just don't know how to get back to them. They've been there all along. And we need to know that he's given us the tools and the keys of what we need. The trick of the enemy is to keep you away from utilizing your keys or utilizing your tools. And one of those tools, one of the greatest tools that has ever, ever been given to us is our worship. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after coming out of being baptized in the Jordan, was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. But it was not until that worship was established that Satan left. If Jesus is going to worship the Father at that moment and establish who the worship is, and that Satan's going to leave, don't you think that's a clear indication what we're to do? Is learn to worship. And I don't mean worship like, oh, I mean worship is where I love you, God, regardless of what the song is, regardless of what the climate is, regardless of what's going on in my life, I love you. That's worship unto him, because he's worth something. Amen. Amen? All right. Now, before I throw the cold water on you to get you out of that, you know, the hot bubble bath that you were in, some of y'all had champagne bubbling on this side, chocolate on this side, candles were going down the side of your tub. You had music playing in the background. Some of y'all were just on a la-la land someplace else. But one of the things, you have to learn how to rest. In your rest, you get restored. In your sleep, your body gets restored. Well, your spirit man is constantly in connection with God. He's spirit. But what happens is the spirit is not connected to your mind because your mind is so busy. And he wants you to get connected to the mind of Christ, so that he can give you instructions. I don't know about you, but I want instructions. I want some clarity. You want some clarity?
Yes.
Do you want some understanding?
Yes.
Do you want to see change?
Yes.
Do you want to see things begin to open for you and not shut before you?
Yes.
You want to see some doors that are really open for you that you can walk in, correct? I told someone on the phone the other day, when I see a door open, I no longer walk, I run.
Yes.
I run right through it. Sometimes I knock over the person that is opening the door because move out the way because I'm coming in. When you have somebody waiting in a holding pattern for so long, stand up, Oscar, please, sir. And stand right here in front of me, but face me. My opposition, Michael, go ahead and turn on these lights right here, please, sir. My opposition is my opportunity. Do you understand that? My opposition is not something to keep me away from something. It's my opportunity to see what's inside of me and how I'm going to get through my circumstance. My opposition is my opportunity. But if I don't see my opposition as my opportunity, what happens is I allow this to become a part of me outside of what is on the other side. My opposition is there to show me what's inside of me. And that is, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And sometimes fear sets in and keeps me away from what is supposed to be mine. And I'm talking about myself right here. None of y'all are scared. I know that. But I am. I hear thump thump in the night and you ain't getting me out of bed. My opposition is my opportunity to an open door for my life. But once I realize that my opportunity that is standing before me is going to reveal more of me in this process. You already missed the key? You already missed the key? Has your opposition been the same opposition for many years? Mine was crowned on the rocks for a very long time. Did I lose some of y'all because I got too fleshy? Should I go back to the spirit? Okay, let's go back to the spirit. I didn't know how to be who God called me to be. Do you understand? Only thing that I knew to be was what was in front of me. Meaning, if I had something staring me in the face, staring me down, I was ready to bow up, throw all kinds of insults, start kicking and screaming, pulling hair, gouging eyes, but it didn't do anything for me. Y'all getting it? Sometimes things come before you that don't move to show you what's inside of you. So your opposition is your opportunity to come out of that circumstance in your life and to take authority over it. I feel the Holy Ghost all over you, son. All over you. Your opposition in which God has established you in. Some of y'all don't want to hear that. That God put me here? Yeah, he did. The Bible says that he ordered your steps. He orders the steps of the righteous. He orders the steps of the righteous. And if he puts you in a place that you don't like to be in, it's your opposition that has turned into your opportunity to show you what's inside of you. But if you don't realize that the opposition that is there is something that's not here to take you out, but it's to take you in. Because what you overcome, you continue to have dominion over it. It no longer has dominion over you. You understand? So what is opposing you is no longer going to be your opponent, but it will be an ally. You're missing them. Let me get back in the flesh a little bit. Some of y'all may understand because some of y'all are looking at me like, no, let's go back to the crown of the rocks. Okay, I'm going to go back to the crown of the rocks. Because the crown of the rocks used to be the booze of my choice. But it used to have dominion over me. Because I was trying to go down a path that I didn't want to really want to go through because I was scared. But I would do it if I had to. But the reality is once that opposition was no longer the thing that had me bound, it became something to me that I had dominion over now. You can put a crown of rocks in front of me, it ain't going to bother me, not one thing. I'll sniff it, drink it, whatever, don't matter. Yeah, I lost some of y'all, really did. It don't bother me. It doesn't have dominion over me. Amen. I have dominion over it. Yes. Now, because of that, watch this, because of that, I can have an encounter with somebody that is caught up in what I was caught up in. Guess what happens? That opposition is now working with me and not against me and begins to minister to them on what was facing them. And it takes that opposition away, turns it into an opportunity, and now they get set free. Why? Because I had an understanding the whole time the opposition was facing me, telling me about me. This is not even my message, but I'm helping you. Can I get real with y'all? Because there's somebody on here who's going to understand this. My escape was my weed. My escape was my cocaine. My escape was my liquor. My escape was something outside of my reality. Are you hearing me now? And each one of those things in my life had a stronghold over me. But the Bible tells me if you take the strong man, you get the goods. So when I took the strong man out of my life and got delivered of all those vices in my life, I realized something was taking effect in me, is I realized I am a good person. I'm not a bad man. I'm not a person that's going to live in the place that I've only known to live in. Hallelujah. Now, I'm prophesying to myself right now. Now, just give me a minute with God. I'm not going to live where I used to live. I'm not going to live where I am today. God has shown me something through the course of my life. I'm going to a better place. But in order for me to get to that better place, I have to understand the opposition that is here to show me what's inside of me so that when the opposition is no longer opposing me, it's walking with me. And when it walks with me, I can grab a hold of somebody else and say, you may have lost something. You may have went through something, but you're going to keep on walking. And what was once opposing you is not opposing you. And you're going to be able to make it to your next place. And when you look back over the course of your life, you're not where you used to be. You're not the same person you used to be. Matter of fact, you don't even have the same God you used to have then. You have a different God now. That God becomes your friend. That God becomes your adversary in times where you can look and say, God, why'd you do this to me? I hate you. Get mad. And you start blaming God. Says, no. I have to be that in this season of your life so that you can get bolder. Well, God, I went through broken marriages and lost a child that doesn't want to even speak to me. And why is this in my life? Why did you order me here? He says, because the righteous, the righteousness of God that is in you, I have ordered your steps for you to get you to a place. Didn't say it was going to be easy. Matter of fact, I said, when trouble comes, know this, that I'll be right there at your side. But if you don't know when trouble comes that he's at your side, you have never encountered the real Jesus that will step into your boat of a storm and silence the winds, silence the storm, and get you to your destination. But the thing is, you got to go through your storms to get to your other side. And if your storm is facing you right now, your storm is your opposition to give you opportunity. And your opportunity turns things around. You've prayed for this, but you don't understand how you're going to get this. But when it manifests before you, you realize it was my opposition all along that created this opportunity. Amen. Have you ever prayed for your mountain to go away and it don't go away? You ever prayed for a certain thing in your life to stop and it won't stop? You ever wonder why when you rebuke it, it don't go away? It's the hand of God. This is what the Bible says about Moses. Moses said, I want to see your face. He says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. You won't see my face, but you will see my glory go before you. And what did he do? He covered him with his hand. Some things in your life had to go in a direction that was not favorable to you. And it didn't feel good. It felt to the point where it is going to crush me. It's going to destroy me. But in reality, it's to reveal more of him in you so he can prepare the way for you. Your life is never going to be the same. Your life will never be the same. You made a choice in the past 6 months that has begun to make a change in your life. And because it's making a change, your family is about to be restored. And everything of the vices that I spoke of, you identified with concerning your family member that you're crying out for, praying for. God says, I will invade his space and turn things around, and you will no longer fear in the place at night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know you. God bless you, child. God bless you. Opportunity sometimes doesn't look like it's supposed to look. Opportunity sometimes comes in the fashion of your life, and sometimes it comes with silver jewelry that has a key. And you feel in prison and in bondage to something that, but I'm a man or a woman of God, and why am I here? Why am I in this state that I'm in? And these things do not move. They do not come off. But yet I'm the only one that sees them. Are you in bondage to something right now in your life that you say, God, you're the only one that holds the key? Because I've tried everything to get out of this bondage. What is it in your life that you said, enough is enough? Let God open it up for you. Let God do it, because he holds the key. He holds the key. And he'll remove only what you see and nobody else wants to see. Because God is a God of covering. Can you open one of those up, please? And I'm going to give you a story in the Bible real quick. And then this is just a nugget for you. Just a nugget. Mephibosheth was a man that was dropped as a child that became lame and crippled. But he had an inheritance to the kingdom. But when it came time to be sat before the other presence of the kings in the royal court, this is what the king did. He covered his inadequacies. He covered him up that nobody can see that from the table up, he was normal, perfect. But from below the surface, not everybody can see, but God will cover it. He will cover it. And in that moment when it's time for healing, he begins to remove the cover where it's only you and God, and he begins to do surgery in the area of your life to remove the things that keep you bound. He saves you from humility. Some of y'all are like, why are you talking about this? I'm talking about my own testimony. And if it bears witness with you, It's because God is not a respecter of person. And if he can set me free, he'll set you free. Amen. If he can go into the pig's pen and get this pig out and clean me up to the point where I don't want to go get dirty all over again, then he can do it for you. Amen. He can do it for you. Don't give up and don't lose your hope. It may be tough and it may be hard. Sometimes in your life you feel like it's never going to end. Your new beginning is here. It's here. It's new for you. It's new. It's new. Your delay is no longer a delay. Your delay is no longer a delay. It was held up, but it wasn't held away from you. It will no longer hasten. It will no longer tarry. But Miss Natalie, it's coming to you. It's coming to you. You've waited patiently, even the patiently, like, you know, the real patient that you don't want anybody else to see. That patient is still patient because you're waiting on God. And he's bringing it. If I can only tell you this in the only way I know how to tell you, I hope you've picked out your furniture. I hope you have picked out even the pictures and the lamps, your area rugs and your coffee tables. And I pray, hear me this, that you even picked out the flowers that you want hanging in the front porch, on your back patio, and even up the walkway. Love it. Celebrate now, for I see the door that is opening because you have been patient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're good.
You're good.
You are my friend.
You are my friend.
You stick closer to me, than a brother.
You never lead me
down a path.
That you're not there.
You're good to me, God.
You love me.
And in return, I love you.
I thank you
for open doors.
I thank you for opportunities.
And I thank you for every opposition.
Because now
I have dominion
over everything
in my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap. Give God a hand clap.
And the lights, Melissa, Josh, turn the overhead on.
Hallelujah.
See, sometimes we just happen to just move in a different direction.
When I get here early, I come and I pray and I wonder, okay, what are you going to do, God? How are you going to do it? What do you want me to do?
What music do you want me to do? What message do you want?
I've had messages that I prepare, and then I don't get to preach. I have messages that get downloaded, and it feels like I have to hit Control-Alt-Delete and get rid of it all.
And I wonder, what was that about?
So I have learned that God is trying to show me how to temper myself in my studies, that some of the studies are not for you, they're just for me.
So when I tell you, I'm talking about myself.
Okay, if I give my testimony, it's my testimony.
Here's what the Bible says about my testimony. I overcome by the word of the Lord and by my testimony.
So if that's the case, let it encourage you. Let it encourage you, because this little piggy went wee, 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 wee all the way home. Because he pulled and tugged on me a little bit too much. Until I surrendered. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. I pray that you received your word.
I didn't see you in a bit, but all I saw was that. And the Lord made sure to tell you about your flowers. So obviously it bear witness with you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to get to this series I promise I won't take too long. I promise. Remember, I was talking about keys to open doors, keys to the kingdom, doors of your opportunities. This was something that's been in my spirit for about a month. And if you've heard me discuss some things, I've always have reference back to the Garden of Eden, correct? I'd love for you, Jennifer, to make that in a bigger image so we could have it here. Okay? Happen to peek over her shoulder as she's drawing, and it's a beautiful tree with the river that's running beside it, beside a mountain. And if I'm not supposed to say, I apologize, but it has always been a reference. And Miss Lisa, you remember when we had someone come in and paint, and I said, what I really want is the Garden of Eden displayed on my wall with the rivers flowing out of it, because I believe that that's God's original intent, is his final decision. God doesn't say, this is what I want you to do. Oh, wait, never mind, not that. No, I want you to do this. No, that ain't going to work either. God has everything planned out already. He doesn't make mistakes, we do. He doesn't change his mind, we do. He's not double-minded and unstable. No, we're not. Not me, I'm not going to be that way. That's somebody else. That's somebody else. But I want to talk to you about doors of opportunity as I begin to show you to some sort of illustration about your opposition as your opportunity. But I want you to go to Genesis real quick, please. And I want to take you to the original intent and design of mankind and the purpose of us being created here on earth. Amen? Without some of y'all that have a tendency to go real deep and theological and start preaching a whole different message as I'm speaking. Stop it. I want to preach this message and show you something. Go to Genesis 1, verse 25. Genesis 1, verse 25. Are you there? Amen. God made the beasts of the earth and after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them. Verse 28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it, the fish, the sea, the birds, and the sky, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Do you see there in verse 28 where it says, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Y'all know what multiplication is, right? It's not 1 plus 1 equals 2, right? What is multiplication? I can't. Well, that's a child, man. That's a child. See y'all preachers in here real quick. What's the child? Well, tell me, child. Tell me. All right. Now, doubling the number by 2. Multiplication. I like that. All right? That's good. So if I give you $10, would you want me to add to it or to multiply to it? Huh? So if I gave you $100, you want me to subtract, divide, or multiply? Mm-hmm. So if I gave you 8 pieces of pizza and you were very, very hungry, would you want me to multiply that or you would be satisfied with what I gave you? Some of y'all think, well, what kind of pizza is? You want it to be multiplied. Here's God's original intent for mankind and for the beast of the earth, correct? What did he say? Be fruitful and multiply. You got that? All right. Don't lose sight of that. Then I want you to go, Josh, are you up? I'm sorry, Josh, you on it, boy. You on it. Genesis 1, 26, 20, we just read that. Know your doors of opportunity. Know your doors of opportunity. Next slide, Josh. Do you have my recording going? All right, good job, Josh. Go to 1 Peter 4:10, please. 1 Peter 4:10. 10. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10. Are you there? All right, who's got it? Who's got it? Someone raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Who's got it? Who's got it? All right, Jeff, hold on.
Just 1, 2.
Yep. Read.
God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another.
Okay, stop right there. Read that last part. The spiritual gifts what?
Use them well to serve one another.
Spiritual gifts to serve one another. Did y'all get that? Okay. Use your spiritual gifts to serve one another. Psalms 24:1. Psalms 24:1. You're almost there. There you go. Psalms 24:1. Well, what version you have? I do. Spanish and English.
Yes,
read this in English. Psalms 24:1.
The world and all that it is belongs to the Lord.
Whose?
To the Lord.
To the Lord's. Everything in it belongs to who?
The Lord.
Who does it belong to?
The Lord.
Who does it belong to?
The Lord.
Who does it belong to?
The Lord.
Are y'all with me? Everything in it belongs to the Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. You did a very good job. Thank you very much. Haggai 2:8. Who's got it? Haggai 2:8. Haggai 2:8. Haggai 2. No one wants to raise their hand now. Like, no, don't call me. Haggai. You know, hey, guy. That one. Go to Haggai 2:8. Who's got it? See, Natalie's not saying nothing but sir. All right, Haggai 2:8.
The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts.
Ooh. Silver and gold is mine, says the Lord. Whose is it? It's the Lord's?
Yes.
The silver and gold is the Lord's.
Yes.
But why is it here on earth? Thank you. You said it exactly right. What did he say that we have dominion over? Everything here on earth. Everything. We have dominion over everything. If God owns everything here on earth, but he gives us dominion over it, does he not? So then that would make us stewards of his gifts. Yeah? Stewards. Managers. How many of y'all want to be managers? Just y'all missing that. What did she just read? That the silver and the gold is the Lord's. But I just gave you scripture where he says that we have dominion over everything here on earth. Who wants to be a manager? Raise your hand. You want the gold, the silver, and the copper at your command?
Yeah.
I've given you the minerals, I've given you the rights, and I have placed you in that with dominion over it. Right? Giving it all to you. What do you think the trick of the enemy is going to be? Either one, try to take it away, or what else? Say it's not yours, what else? What are you going to do with it? Well, I have a whole list. Don't you have a list? Don't you have a list? What else? What are you going to do with it? What do you think the enemy, what do you think the devil wants to do to make you not have it? What would he do? What would he say? Any of y'all? Huh. What do you think the devil's going to do? He's going to take it? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to take it? Are you just copying it? You're copying it. The devil is going to try to take something away that is not his, that belongs to you. What do you call that? Stealing. It's robbing you of your blessing, for he is a thief that comes in the night. Why the night? Have you ever been scared during the day watching a scary movie? Have you been scared? Let the sun go down. Watch the same movie. I guarantee you every light in the house is going to be on. I guarantee you every lock is going to be locked, padlocked, dogs with you sitting on the couch, because when you hear something upstairs, go check it out, because you ain't moving from the couch. What is the difference at night as opposed to during the day? Oh, well, you can see things that would have a tendency you couldn't see at night. Why do you think the enemy comes in at night? Because he wants to come in and strike fear so you don't get what's rightfully yours. But wait a minute. If it's yours to begin with, and God gave it to you to steward and have dominion over it, how could he steal something that isn't his that you own because of daddy? No, you don't let him. You don't let him. You say it again a little bit louder. Ignorance, not knowing that you're the only one that has the right to it. He doesn't. He can't even put his filthy paws on it. All he can do is make you think that you're never going to get it. Where are these minerals found, Richard? Okay, Columbia. Okay, Columbia. In the earth. How do we get to the gold and silver? Do you not have to go through a substance to get to it? It's usually... Oh, say it again, sir. Say it again, sir. Say it again, sir. Sometimes you got to go through the rock to get to your jewels. Sometimes you got to go through the rock to get what's rightfully yours. See, it took the enemy to get you out of your garden state where you had dominion over everything because of a lie. I'm trying to help you. How many of you like to get lied to by your, you know, the one you love? You like, everybody likes to get lied to, right? No? Oh, because you know it's a lie. So then we don't know that the enemy's lying to us that we think is truth. If you know it's a lie, why do we buy it? Correct? Because you know there's... I ain't going to say that. There's kids in here. I don't know. Some of the spouses have had a tendency to walk hand in hand with the devil. They just eat with the devil, sleep with the devil, make covenant with the... Whew. Lord Jesus, help me. We need to understand when the liar comes in to tell you you can't have it, you got to go through the rock to get it. You've got to go to the rock of ages. You've got to go to the rock, which is Jesus, that brings revelation knowledge to you so that you can get back to your original state, which is in the garden, where you didn't have to work for it. It was already given to you. Some of y'all are missing that. Adam did not have to work or till the garden. It wasn't until after he fell. In reality, the woman did, but it's okay. It was, look at me. It was supposed to be, you didn't have to do nothing to get what was rightfully yours. Follow me? Yeah, that includes healing. That includes deliverance. That includes the spirit of a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. See, I'm going to preach to myself. See, I was fearful. I was scared. So scared that I was keeping myself away from my own blessing. The thump-thump in the night got me worried about what's going to happen when it's revealed during the day. Because what is hidden always gets revealed. And when it gets revealed, what you going to do? Some of us have a tendency to put things covered up real good. Put extra dirt on it. We go and plant flowers around it so nobody can get. Or if we do the other, we put the rose bush. It has the big old thorns. We put it all so nobody gets to it. But God has a tendency to surface some things up. So what was once hidden gets revealed so that he can get to gets you back to the original state, which is you have dominion over everything. Over everything. Amen? Amen. All right, next slide, Josh. Go to Matthew 25, 14, please. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. When you're there, say amen. Matthew 25. I'll tell you what. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Go to verse 40. Matthew 24, 40. And I will begin to read. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night, say night, that the thief, the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Mm. For this reason, you also must be, say ready.
Ready.
Stay ready.
Ready.
Stay ready. Say I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm staying ready.
I'm
being diligent to stay ready. To be on alert. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Verse 45. Let's stay at 44. I'm sorry. For this reason, you shall also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Verse 45. When then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all, say all, his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour which he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Well, well, well. That's mine is all written in red. That's Jesus speaking. Jesus had a tone on that one. Jesus really had a tone when he was speaking this one. There will be gnashing of the teeth. You know gnashing of the teeth. It's going to be so bad, bad, for the one that didn't do what the master said, correct? All right. Now, let me back up a little bit and give you a prelude to what was going on prior to this. The disciples are asking, when will Jesus come back? Okay, so they're asking these questions. And you know, just like Jesus, he ain't going to tell nobody. He's going to speak in parables. Jesus speaking in parables all the time. Can you imagine what the disciples were saying? This man never answers a question right. He just never answers us. He just gives me another story. And I don't know what he's talking about. Don't you think they looked at Jesus like, you ain't this way, you're this way. Because I don't quite understand what you're saying. He would be like a thief that came and the slave was feeding. But he became master of everything. But then the one that just didn't. And then the next story, the next parable, he's talking about virgins. What is Jesus doing? He's grabbing their attention at different areas of the level of where they're at. Do you understand? So sometimes you can walk into the house of manna and you may, I got that one. Other times, like, pastor was off. He was way out there. I don't know where he was at. But it ministers to somebody else in a different way for a reason. He never goes to the right scriptures and he always reads it differently. And I can't find it in my Bible. I don't know what version he's reading from. And I have all these versions in my electronic device and I still don't even know what he's saying. And he's just all over the place. Because God has a way of getting to someone in a different way, in a different angle. Okay? Well,
Here's where we begin to take the context of our text. If you would, go to verse 14 in chapter 25. This is what he's telling them when and what it would be like. Here's what it says in verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. What man is this, do you think? Jesus. Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay, this is who the man is that's going on a journey. He's going on a journey. It's about Jesus. Who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own what? Ability. Each according to his own ability. Y'all read that, right? So the master knew, I'm going to give 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. To a slave. To a slave, mind you. Okay? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what I want to show you. A talent, do you know, is a measure of weight, correct? During this time, biblical scholars have estimated that the talent, depending on whether gold, silver, or copper, depending on what it was equivalent to $300,000 during that time. That would take a slave over a year's time of work just for 1 talent. Do you understand? Now you got it? You're going to work all year long, and then you'll get 1 talent. I'll take that, $300,000. I'll work all year long. Get to, We got that. $300,000 for 1 talent. So that meant that when he gave the 5 talents to the other, almost $1.5 million to 1 slave. That's a lot to a slave. We can't even give $10 to our... You know the soda only costs $1.50 and it come, and you gave them a 10 and you didn't get no change? Josh, where's my change? What had happened was, why are your fingers all red like you've been eating hot Cheetos? You got a Sprite too? And a Snickers bar. Just things just happen to go away. But here's the thing. You felt me on that one, see? You felt me. Because you got to have the sweet and the spice, and you wash it down with the Diet Coke. Follow me. Get back. Cross. Okay. Now listen. So now you understand the weight measure, and you understand the amount. But here, do you not question why the master would give that much to a slave? Do you not question that? Maybe it's just me. A slave. You know, a slave doesn't work for money. They don't earn money. The slave works because he's owned by the master. Not looking for any rewards. You hear me now? Not working for any accolades to be heard or seen. To gain anything other than to stay alive. To stay alive. So in other words, these slaves lived where? Well, no. You're coming up to this time, baby. You're coming up to this. They lived in the same house as the master. You hear me? Okay. So when it gets time, when he's giving out, he says, according to their ability. So in other words, he knew. Stand up. According to your ability, I'm going to give you 5. You should have been shouting right there. Give you 5 talents, close and equivalent to 1.5. Stand up. Oh, now you want to stand up now, huh? Come on. And to another, according to the ability,
two talents.
No, I want five.
No, but you can't. According to your ability, you're going to get 600,000, which is meaning the two talents. Who wants to be the number one? You want to be one? Who wants to be? Come on, girl, come on. You never raise your hand, so come on. Come on, that's good. That's good. Thank you. Stand right here. So now the master gives one talent, which is the $300,000 to her, to this one, two, which is $600,000. This one, the five, according to their ability. Now watch this. The only way he would know their ability is because he knew them. Meaning they had a tendency of reflection of what they were able to do or not do, correct? Okay. Say opportunity.
Opportunity.
For increase.
For increase.
Opportunity.
Opportunity.
For change.
Change.
Or opportunity.
Opportunity.
For nothing.
For nothing.
I'll lead you down this path. Watch. So the first one, they got the five immediately. Go down there. Immediately took off with it. And began to put it to work. The second one, go down that aisle. Immediately took it and began to put it to work. Now watch this. Now the one with one, act like you're hiding it in there, and begin to bury it in the ground. How many gifts have been given to you and you don't multiply the gift in others? You keep it to yourself and you keep it dormant and you cover it all up. According to their ability. And if you read on in the text, the one that had one, you can stand up there. You can stand up. Now's your time to shine, girl. Now's your time to shine. Look at them. Show them how beautiful your smile, girl. There you go. See? Now watch this. Watch. This one tells the master when they return. Here they come. They're returning. Return, slaves. Return. 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 Now here comes the master. Now watch this. Watch this. The master goes now to the first one and eagerly, I'm walking, you're walking to me. Quickly, quickly, quickly. The five that you gave me, I got five more. It multiplied. How much? How much?
3 million.
Oh, now you feel the Holy Ghost. You want your tambourine? Hold on. Let's do that. Dude, go. Tambourine. Hey! All right now. See what I'm saying? See, when things begin to get multiplied in your life, it's because there's eagerness there. There's a willingness to work it. There's a willingness to put it to use and put it in so that it would gain something in return for the master, and really not for yourself. Okay, so now here comes the other one that had only two. Quickly, quickly. Grab hold real quick of the master. Hers multiplied. Multiplied to two. And the master looks and tells them both the same thing. Because they were faithful with little, they would become ruler of much more. Right? Much more. But watch this. Here's the blessing of this. Is that it was a setup all along. It was a setup to get him out of a slave mentality, to get him out of working in the fields, to now partake of what the owner had originally had. It took him out of a place of a socioeconomic status and took him to another level. Do you understand that? But watch this. Here comes number one. She goes and pulls it out of the ground. And then brings it to the master and says this to the master, I knew you were shrewd, hard man. And you reap where you don't plant. You just take what's not yours. So here's your original that you gave me. Is anything wrong? No, y'all reading ahead now. Because in the Bible, you read your story, he didn't say anything for them to go and multiply it. He didn't say anything. He gave it to them. There you go. That's yours. That's yours. And that's yours. I'm going on a journey. That's it. And when he left, he didn't tell them, I want you to multiply it. I want you to make me more money. He didn't say that. It's not in your Bible anywhere. It's not. But what he left them was, remember who I said is on the journey? Jesus. Jesus is on this journey. He's left all of us with our talents according to our abilities to increase his kingdom. But some of us get so scared that we bury everything out of sight, out of mind. We don't have to worry about it because out of fear, I can't grasp hold of what might happen. Because how would this slave have a description of the master that these two didn't? Do you see that? Maybe this one saw something that was in here that wasn't in the master that caused her to hide it. But in them, an opportunity to please the master went out and multiplied more, which is God's original intent. Do you understand? To multiply, be fruitful, and give back to the master. Give back what? Had nothing to do with the talent. Had to do with the weight of measure that was given to each of them according to their ability. For some of us, in looking at this spiritually, if you would, not the silver, not the gold, God has given each and every one of us our own talents. And these talents can be spiritual gifts, they can be spiritual callings, but each one of us have a responsibility in the kingdom of God. But each one of us have a tendency to do things like the slave of one, the slave of two, or the slave of five. Within us, we carry every ability to multiply because that was the intention of God all along. What are you going to do with what God has given you? Are you going to take it as an opportunity to increase your life, your status, and no longer be a slave, but be an owner? Do you understand? Thank you. Yes, you can sit down. You can sit down. Great job, girl. Thank you for doing that. They were slaves, but because they multiplied it, the master saw something in them and say, you have something inside of you that can begin to increase for the kingdom. And because you have that, you will no longer be a slave, but you will partake of everything that I own. You understand? In other words, come back into the garden with me and partake of everything that's in the garden. Where all your resources and everything that is necessary for you is right there with you. And watch this. Just because he brought one slave. Now, what you got to understand, during that time, in that era, the slaves had wives. They had children. They had grandchildren. But because the slave did what was honorable in the sight of the master, it wasn't just the slave that got elevated. It was the family that got elevated. If God gets a hold of one, he gets them all. Amen. So if you happen to be the one in the family that God is working on and saying, because of you, I'm getting your household. Get in your household. He didn't say it was going to be quick. They may come in and they may get out. They may come in and they may go out. The mere fact that they came in is all it takes. Because they had an experience one time. Sometimes it just takes one encounter with the king that changes the perspective of who they are. And they see themselves differently. And they're no longer how they used to be. But we have to invite them to a place where they have experienced God like never before. And it's not in a church, guys. It's you, yourself, showing that the kingdom of God is within me. Within me. And the king resides in me. So when they see you outside of the church, how do they perceive you? Because their perception is the reality of you. Y'all don't want to hear that because that we all get, we got slap back. We all go like this. We're like the Three Stooges. We got to go like this. Okay?
You have to be the church outside of here. Because if in here we're like, and we're always at the cross cry, and you walk out and you're cursing each other out before you even get to the car. You're throwing half peace signs and everything at each other. And you're the pastor. I'm playing. I'm just a little bit too far, Jim. Sorry. But we act a certain way here. But when we're out there, they don't know if you need to know Jesus. People want to go pray for you. They want to come up to you. Do you know Jesus? Let me introduce you to Jesus. Oh, no, I just came from church. Whoa. You know, holy water and everything. Guys, the kingdom resides within you. You've got to reach people with the love. Not with condemnation. Not with the, I've got a word. Keep your word. How many words? You a pastor? I got a word for you. I got the whole word, Genesis, Revelation. What are you going to tell me? Uh-huh. Oh, you're going to confirm to me what I already know? Okay. And then they don't know how to take me because I've stopped them. I thought you had a word for me. Well, you don't want to receive it. Well, if it's from God, you would have no choice but to deliver it. I'm just on my soapbox. Let me get off. I'd rather have someone say, you know, baby, you look just like Jesus. You look just like Jesus. You're always happy. You always got a smile. Even when you're going through, nobody even knows you're going through. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. Because when you're going through, you know the ones that let you know you're going through? The ones that don't know how to grab onto the hem of his garment. Isn't it funny that the woman, what was her name? That got healed with the issue of blood? What was her name? Oh, it was not written? What about the one that was at the well? Huh? Her name wasn't given? Well, it just says where she's from? Isn't it kind of odd? Why isn't everybody's name written? Because when I read up until the New Testament, you can't account for everybody's name. Some of the names you can't even pronounce, and you're... And it's a long list of lineage. But when you get to the New Testament, some people are not even mentioned by name. Thank you. Can you say that again? Not about us. Oh, it's, huh? Not about us. I still couldn't hear you. What? It's not about us. It's all about him. Sam? Why is it? Oh, let me just get in this. Jesus is coming now into to the city gates. He's walking by the temple, Solomon's temple. There's five porches, meaning there's five pools, meaning these pools have loads of people trying to get in when the angel comes to stir the waters, but only one of them gets healed. Why only one? Why only one when Jesus can heal them all? With faith? Because he cried out. Because he understood who the master was that was walking by. Do you understand? Not everybody knows that Jesus is around in the temple. Not everybody knows that Jesus is in the temple. You're missing the point. That in church, not everybody knows when Jesus shows up. Why are they crying over there? They're always crying. This place, they got tissues everywhere. They're always crying. I don't want to go to that church. They just cry. You just cry. They don't know Jesus in the room walks in. All you can do is just weep. That's right. You can't even say a word. Why? Because when he shows up, he changes and alters everything about you. Didn't he say that when the waters begin to stir, that the messenger
stirred the waters. Some things in your life need to be stirred up. It doesn't feel good. It don't look good. And it doesn't look like there's ever an end. But some things need to be stirred up. And if it's getting stirred up, it comes from here first, not up here. When it comes from here, it touches your heart. It touches your mind. And it begins to make a change. You begin to see things more clearer. And things that were once foggy begin to get blown away. And your destiny gets revealed and discovered as you walk it out. Don't let the thief come in at the night and steal what's rightfully yours. Don't let it. Don't let it. Well, Pastor, can you tell me what that is? Yeah, your joy. Your joy. Your joy is your greatest tool and your greatest weapon. It'll change the atmosphere and it'll change the circumstance. How you'll use the least to make a change in the kingdom. He used Joseph at that time to be the youngest son that brought salvation unto the family. But ultimately, he used Benjamin, the youngest. Hear me and hear me good. He used Benjamin, the youngest, to get 5 times greater than what was originally given to the others. Your greatness is coming at a time of opposition. Your greatness is coming when you don't see the end of the tunnel. You don't see the end. You don't see the light. But your opposition is to show you that I'm about to give you 5 times greater because you've lost much, but the joy is still resonant inside of you. And in the midst of the storm that you're in, there's a song being deposited within you that shall come forth and change your atmosphere. And it'll change everything about you. And it'll blow open doors that no man can ever shut. Your joy is your tool and your gift. If you've ever wondered what your gift was, it's your joy. You're a blessing, Lord. You're a blessing. Don't ever think otherwise. Ever think otherwise. Stand to your feet, please. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you for speaking tonight through your word, but speaking to our spirit, into our soulish realm, where our mind, our will, and our emotions is our soulish realm. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Some of you have had things spoken to you that has had you bound for a long time. Because it got tied up in your soul, your emotions, has made you emotional over the course of many years. You have your ups, you have your downs, but sometimes you feel you have more downs than ups. And it's all tied to a circumstance or a word spoken to you. Some circumstances have happened in your life that were out of your control, and you felt like it was your fault, but you had nothing to do with it. You were just a recipient of someone's bad decision. And it's plagued you for many years. You're in this room tonight. Father, I just thank you right now for a word that goes into the soulless realm right now. That it does not give a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. A spirit of love. That there's a renewing of the soul. A renewing. I thank you for the blood that cleanses us and washes us clean. Father, I just thank you right now for a healing virtue to go forth into this atmosphere. To bring about healing with the soulless realm, Father God. That words that entered in and taken root. I uproot it now. I bind it now in the name of Jesus. And I plant life. I plant life, 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 joy, and a hope of a future. And Father, I just thank you in advance for what you're doing. I thank you for dwelling with us, Lord, and being a part of us and guiding us to every step that we take. Father, we thank you in advance in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As Michael and Melissa pass out the envelopes for tithe and offering, there is really, in the atmosphere, I keep hearing the words that have really penetrated through your ear gates is right here. Right here. Words have come forth and have hurt you, disappointed you. You believed the words. You began to see it like it's for real and it's not. I don't know who you are, but you're in here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Relationships that were tested. Relationships that were tested. There was a ripping and a tearing in a relationship. I don't know who you are. God wants to heal that, and someone is fearful of that relationship. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release it in the atmosphere to take root into their soul right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What, can you put your left hand on her shoulder, please? Yeah.